This weekend, we want to focus on going with Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust him more. It takes trust to go with Jesus. I'm glad I made that choice a long, long time ago. But this weekend, we're doing our Mission Connect weekend, and we want to show you opportunities to go with Jesus here at Mayfair, in our community, or maybe to Senegal, West Africa. But we've enjoyed having some homegrown Mayfair people with us this weekend. David and Leonice Rustoffer spoke this morning. David grew up here at Mayfair and has been serving the Malinke tribe in Senegal, West Africa. In just a few minutes, I'm going to introduce Kevin and Gretchen Gregory. Gretchen grew up here at Mayfair, and her husband, they serve with Word of Life. Interesting, they've both been on the field about 30 years. So it's kind of a homecoming for them, but congratulations, praise the Lord for 30 years of service. And then we have some special guests from Camp Barakel. Tim and Elisa Elliott are candidates. They're raising support. They're at 74%. We would love to see them get on staff at Barakel for the busy camping season coming up. And Ariana is here also from camp. She's already on staff, and she's the volunteer coordinator. They're going to be sharing, especially this evening at 6 o'clock, so please come back. Camp Barakel is such an amazing place. It's only 2 hours away. You can serve taking your little kids, you know, your sons and daughters, sending them to camp, going as father, daughter, father, son, families. They serve as high school students for a couple weeks, as techs and engineers, as college students, as counselors. There is something for everyone, and it's such a great place to go. God is blessed. That's what Barakel stands for. So come back tonight, please. Word of Life. In the 1940s, their founder, Jack Wirtson, said, "Each generation has a responsibility to reach their generation for Christ." Going with Jesus. Word of Life now is spread to over 80 countries, I understand. So Kevin and Gretchen, please come on up. As I mentioned, Gretchen grew up here at Mayfair. Her father, Bob Liddell, was kind of like the originator of the way we do VBS with all the games and the tickets to win prizes and go to the store. And just he taught us some amazing things. So God bless you guys.
So it's really good to be back. I will give you a little history because I'm sure that most of you don't even know me or Kevin, but we are super just blessed to be here. We got married here in 1992. I started attending Mayfair with my family in 1978, so that was a little while ago. And it was honestly our family. Mayfair became our family, which was just really special for us. I took a few pictures of the quilt this morning that's out hanging there in the wall and sent them to my sisters and my mom so they could see we're actually on the quilt. Not our best pictures, but that's okay. So that was, it's pretty just exciting to be here. In 1992, like I said, Kevin and I got married. We met at Liberty University and headed straight back to Virginia, where we were already in ministry at a local church in Appomattox, Virginia. Kevin was the youth pastor, and I was just having a ton of fun serving alongside him, discipling girls, and just flourishing. It was a really exciting time in our life. And Word of Life approached us on a couple of occasions, and I kept saying to Kevin, we need to hide in a corner. We don't want to, we're good. Where we are, no change. I was really happy with what we were doing, but the Lord kept prodding us. And it was one summer when we took our youth group up to Word of Life Island that we really, I for the first time really saw the full scope of what was happening. And it, the Lord just impressed upon our heart that this is what he had for us. And so in 1994, we joined the staff. In 1995, Mayfair Bible Church started supporting us, and so you have been our longest church supporter ever, and so we're super thankful for that. It's been 30 years that you've been supporting us, so thank you. We served in Central Virginia for 28 years with Word of Life, serving the eastern half of the state, Kevin working with local churches, just really encouraging, building networks and helping youth pastors and lay leaders to disciple preschoolers all the way through high schoolers. We did lots of events And just saw so many young people come to know the Lord, and that was exciting. We loved Virginia. All of our family migrated to Virginia, so we were just super comfortable there and exciting, flourishing ministry. And then I think I'm supposed to talk about our family.
We have a slide for
I think we might have a picture.
Start the show if we get that.
Okay, so this is our family. Over that 28 years of ministry with Word of Life, we welcomed our son Luke, who's in the middle there, and he is now married to Holly. They have three children. They live in Denver. Our daughter, Kara, who is on the right side of the screen, is our second born, and she is married to her husband, Jake, and they live in Boston area, and they have a little girl, Adeline. Our daughter, Julia, our youngest, is married to Cairo. They met at the Bible Institute, and they live in upstate New York, actually in an apartment right above us. So we get to have a little family close by. But we moved in, we were asked in 2022 to consider moving to the Northeast. And it was not our plan, and I was not super excited about it at first. But we prayed about it, and it was like, you know what? At this stage of life, we need to be sitting on the edge of our seat, ready to do whatever God has for us next, not sitting back and getting comfortable. And so we sold our house, uprooted everything, and moved to Scroon Lake, New York in 2022. And you can see the star there. That is where we live in New York. Big shift for us from Virginia, a little bit more like Michigan weather. And we serve really close on the Bible Institute campus of Word of Life. And Kevin serves all of those states, as well as Maryland, Delaware, and West Virginia, working with the missionary couples who are out in the field. We serve them, we support them, we meet with them, we help them run events. So we get to see the gospel going out all over the Northeast, which I have learned is a very dark place. And so it's a really great opportunity to see the gospel go out there and begin to build networks of youth leaders and youth pastors there who are teaching and training young people to grow up and serve the Lord.
That's great. This should be on now. So we're good. Thank you very much. Why don't you take that down there? I want to thank you guys for having us here. It's been a great weekend, starting from the progressive dinner on Friday night and then also Saturday morning. It's just been a tremendous time of being back here home. We appreciate the hospitality, and thank you, Dan and Pastor, for just putting this all together. It's great to have mission conferences to just help us reflect on what the importance of going is. And so I'm going to share a little bit today with you. I've got a few more slides that I'll show you just a little bit about Word of Life, about what Word Ministry is. Will I be able to use this click? Do I have to point it in a certain area? Any suggestions? Or you can go to the next slide for me there. Unless it's the side. There we go. We'll go through this and I'll just have you go on from those. But Word Life Ministries, as we have been called to this ministry, we've had the opportunity to reach a generation. And we'll just talk about, this is coming here, I guess, a new one. Thank you very much. That's okay. And this is just going to go up. Okay. All right. We are all set. Sorry about that. But like I was saying, Word of Life is all about reaching the next generation for Christ. And we realize that within this world that we serve, there are hurting students everywhere. This generation is what is described as the loneliest generation, but yet the most connected to technology, to social media, to other things like that. We have a uphill task as far as reaching them in the mediums they enjoy and the things that they do. But the biggest area is we need to make connections. COVID also was a big setback because that just seemed to isolate people more, and students are still struggling with how to interpersonal connect with one another. So we have a generation that is lost, that is searching, and they're searching for hope. They're searching for hope, purpose, in this life. One of the things that there should be some, let me go through some of these here. Word of Life exists, it says there, to exist to serve the local churches. Some of these slides I have hidden, but I guess maybe there's a lot more of them on here than there should be, but I'll just go through and highlight a few of them. Our ministry is to serve the local church. Some ministries that you guys might support work through schools, they work through other areas. Ours is just coaches coming alongside local churches and working with their youth leaders and their pastors. We feel like that partnership is the one God has intended us to have as far as getting alongside the local church. So we're a parachurch organization. We are all about helping coach churches to have deep and engaging youth ministries. Deep and engaging youth ministries is what we're about. And we call that deep in the fact that we want every student everywhere to be able to grow in their walk with the Lord, to grow in their faith. And that's one of the primary things that we help churches do. Some of you may know that Word of Life has a devotional book called the Word of Life Quiet Time. They've been around for years, and they are a valuable tool for helping the local church or helping the family grow spiritually. There's six different books I'll just briefly share. There's six different books starting from preschool to adult. You read in the same passage for each of those applications. So a family can open up God's Word, read the Bible, and then have a different application or a different workbook that they go through, helping strengthening the families. Because we feel like the family, according to the Bible, is the true source of where discipleship needs to start. And the church comes alongside and supports that. So we have a deep ministry by providing resources, the devotionals, and other things to help the local church. Also, we have engaging ministries. We help churches do deep and engaging ministries. And engaging is every student everywhere growing or sharing their faith with a friend. Talk about evangelism in this area. So not just growing in their walk, but sharing their faith. Sharing their faith is something that we have had lots of opportunities to engage in ministries. Churches, for the most part, there's a lot of different things that they can have to teach, good curriculums out there and things like that. But one thing that they normally are not doing as frequently is training students at an early age to be able to share their faith. And so we really feel like if a youth group can have these two pillars, growing in their walk with the Lord and sharing their faith, then we can see a dynamic ministry that they can be a part of. So that is what we do. Without having that, we are going to lose this next generation. The local church needs to be the answer to having this type of ministry. So Word of Life comes alongside and is that. I'm going to skip through all of these here because that is for another presentation. Apologize for that. Okay, this is where I want to just give you an update about what we do on the field. In the Northeast and around the country, we have some events for evangelism as well. Word of Life has what used to be called the Super Bowl. Some of you may remember that term, a Word of Life Super Bowl. That's a youth all-nighter that we have. This is now called Word of Life Reverb. We've just rebranded it a little bit for copyright purposes. We didn't want to get sued. So we have Word of Life Reverb, but it still means that the gospel goes forth and the echo of that, the reverberation of that, goes out throughout the night because it is from 7 o'clock. We go to a hockey game normally, and then we spend all night, even through midnight, going out and then having get different games. We go bowling, skating, it could be to trampoline parks, those kind of things, until the next morning. Fantastic time. A lot on the leaders to be able to stay up and get drivers for all that, but we saw 16,000 come to that in 2024. That's just 13 events that we ran to get those numbers and had 771 trust Christ. And that is just awesome. We see that every year that we're trying to expand and grow, getting the gospel out through the Word of Life Reverbs. And we pray that those students that are counseled and even talked about getting names, they go back to the local churches and get plugged in. So pray for our Reverbs. We have one in Kalamazoo, Michigan. We also have one down in Cleveland, Ohio. So some that are within a driving distance for your group. And I know we talked about that in Sunday school this morning, that maybe you guys can get it plugged into a Word of Life Reverb with the purpose of bringing the students here, bringing their friends that are lost, needing to know about Christ to something like this. There's also something I want to talk about as far as a intersect camp. We do what we call snow camps up in New York. We have lots of snow, like you guys may. But in the Adirondacks, we have 7 weeks of snow camp at the Word of Life Bible Institute. And that's where I office and work from. And the snow camps are fantastic. You come in on a Friday with a youth group, and they stay until Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon after we do a closing go session. So we have the opportunity of having students there to hear the gospel and make decisions. I just wanted to highlight this because we had, again, over another 6 weeks of snow camp. We had 2,000 in attendance, 165 salvation decisions. And we've grown to the point where we don't have enough space anymore up in New York for snow camp over the weeks we hold it. So we've been doing what we call intersect camps. Intersect, this is a picture from the New Hampshire one that Gretchen and I helped this year with. And it was the first one we have done there in that location. Had another 150 students. And you can see the cross there. On Sunday, when we go do the message about going back and reaching your friends for Christ, this is their invitation, and they come and put a name on the cross of somebody they know that needs to hear the message and that they're willing to go back and tell themselves about. So we had a fantastic time doing Intersect Camp in New Hampshire this year. We're going to try to expand and even do more of these type of camps, partnering with satellite locations. We've done one in now Ohio, out in California, and next year we're looking at in February to do one here in Michigan. So if there's a camp, we forget the name, Center Lake Bible Camp, we're going to partner with in Tustin, Michigan, and February 13 to 15 next year is going to be our first satellite camp here in Michigan. So again, highlighted that with the students earlier to see if we get some students maybe to take part in that. So we love to do ministry where we get students together and share the gospel. And you can see the message, the very top of that, the factory reset was the theme for that snow camp, for that intersect camp. And it was an interesting concept to be able to tell the students because everybody's familiar with what a factory reset is. A factory reset is when something, a device, an application, something on a computer just kind of falls away from what its original intent was. It may have gotten corrupted, it may have something that's gone wrong with it, but it is not the way that it was originally intended. So we need a factory reset. And when we talk about evangelism, this is kind of leading into where we're going to go with the message today. But when we're talking about that, we need to realize that God made a perfect environment for Adam and Eve, but however, they chose to what? Sin. They chose to deviate from that perfect plan. And that corrupted our operating system as man. It allowed sin into our lives. So just as we are broken and corrupted, just as a device can be broken and corrupted, a factory reset is to restore it to its original functionality. We need a Savior to restore us. We need a Savior to restore our broken relationship with Him. So where we're going to go today, I'll just give you a little bit of an overview, is we're going to talk about relational evangelism, how we can meet the needs in the lives of those that we come in contact with. So in this morning, we're going to talk about 4 points. We're going to go talk about a couple verses and highlight our need for relational evangelism. We're going to look at a practical method for building a bridge to share the gospel. We're going to learn a clear way of sharing the gospel. And then we're going to close with a challenge of sharing your story with somebody. So I just want to let you know that's where we're going to go in the time that we have, in the few minutes we have together. But we've teach this to a lot of our students, our college, and even our youth coaches are in churches helping students understand this. So I hope you guys will all just be like students today. I'm going to have you guys interacting with us as far as we go through a simple memory outline. And so hopefully you'll be able to use this, write it down, engage with it. And also, there is an app that I'll share with you. If you don't get it all down, you'll be able to go and find some of the resources at the end. So let's go ahead and pray as we get started. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. I thank you so much for the opportunity to be here, to share about how we can be witnesses for you. Here in this area, here in Michigan, in other parts of the country and around the world, Lord, how that we need to be prepared to be able to give an answer of the hope that is in us. And I pray that this will be a challenge for us to be not just thinking about missions as being overseas, but that right across the street from us. Lord, we love you. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, as we get started, we're going to talk a little bit about the need for evangelism. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3 says, "In the past, you were spiritually dead because of your sins and the things you did against God. Yes, in the past, you lived the way the world lives. In the past, all of us lived like them, trying to please our sinful selves and doing the things that our bodies and minds wanted. And we have some people you know are still living in that past. Some people are still spiritually dead and have not been, in order to do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Verse 3 obviously sounds a lot like the culture and the day in which we live in. And verse 3 says, in the past we lived like these, that they tried to please themselves with all the things their bodies and minds wanted. Doesn't that sound like the culture again in the day and age we live? It's all about ourselves. It's about seeking pleasure and comfort. It's interesting that term wanted there, because if you're thinking about your schedules and the busyness of life and the excuses a lot of people make as far as not getting involved with God's word or learning and desiring to be with Him, we think about that when it comes to busyness, that, well, we usually do what we want to do. That word wanted is important there, because people find a way to do what we want to do, whether that be sports and cheering for sports teams and all the other things that go into that. We can get consumed with the things of this world. But I pray that many, if not all of you that are here today, have found new life in Christ. That past is the past, that is not the way that we live anymore, that we have that relationship with Jesus Christ. As the praise team mentioned in a verse, the old is passed away, and behold, all has become new, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17. So, what, as a believer, is our mission and our purpose? It's not to live the way that the world lives. It's not to live seeking our own pleasures. But what is our mission? What is our purpose? Let's look at this as far as in 2 Corinthians 5:19-20 says, "For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, no longer counting people's sin against them. He gave us His wonderful message of reconciliation." It's a big word. It's basically that union that we've lost, that factory reset we need, because we were originally designed to be in fellowship with God. But because of sin, that separation now has taken us farther than we could imagine from Him. But we need to be brought back. Reconciliation is bringing back together that was torn apart. Verse 20, so we are Christ ambassadors. So we are Christ ambassadors. God is making His appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. Our mission is to communicate hope as Christ ambassadors. That's just always such a challenging concept for me. That God chose you and I as His plan A for bringing the message of hope to the world. We got to think about that. We have to really own that. Phrases like, He speaks through us, and we speak on His behalf, should be comforting in a way, because it's not anything about us. It's not our amount of education. It's not about how smooth of a talker we are. It's not about anything we bring to the table. It's all about being a spokesperson for the God who made us, in and through us. Think of just a foreign ambassador. You know something about somebody that goes on behalf of the president to another land, another place where they are to be able to have communication with that other nation. If we just think about it, that person that lives there, that's an ambassador, a foreigner, it's not their home. It's not where they belong. It's not something that is their roots of where they're from. But they learn the culture, they have to interact, they have to befriend people so that their message can be heard in that context, in that setting. Even in the Bible, in the Old Testament, many times you'll see Samuel, prophet of God, a spokesperson to Saul. Nathan was a spokesperson to Moses. Even our quiet times that we're reading in Exodus right now, as we follow along with the Word of Life reading plan there, We're talking about Moses getting the messages of God, being challenged to go and present the message to Pharaoh's about letting his people go. God uses people. God uses people in miraculous ways to be able to do only what he can do. And this is an interesting, we call this three-dot theology. I'm not sure if you've ever seen this visual or know about it, but basically talks about the responsibilities we have and some misconceptions that we might have as far as when it comes to evangelism. Who does what when it comes to my responsibilities, God's responsibilities, and the person that you're sharing with? Well, this might be helpful if you just think about it this way. You have me. This is my responsibility. This is us. We share the gospel with a friend. According to 2 Corinthians 5:20 there, we are therefore Christ ambassadors. That's our responsibility. We're the spokesperson. God's responsibility, he opens the heart of that individual, of that friend. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. John 6:44. So that's God's responsibility. He does that drawing. He takes that seed that's planted and he causes that to then sprout within that life, that new life of knowledge and understanding of him. And then the friend's responsibility, they must believe in Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. We all know John 3:16. But those just help us think, when we're talking about evangelism, we don't have to have the weight of trying to convince somebody to trust Christ. That's God's responsibility. It's his work to be able to open that heart. We don't have to, again, be worried about the response that the people have. They may take that with joy. They may take that with a little bit of frustration or anger. But we're not responsible for that. We do what we can to make it as easy as possible for them to receive. But again, we are responsible to share. God opens the heart, and our friends must believe. So hopefully that's helpful in thinking about our responsibilities. So this is just telling us that there is a need to reach this world. There is a need, and the role that we play as a believer is very important. So that brings us to this aspect of relational evangelism. We talk about practical methods for building a bridge, and one of the ministry partners that Word of Life has had for the last several years is a ministry called Dare to Share. So some of these graphics and some of their outlines are not original to us, but we have adopted them into our missions, our evangelism strategy for youth ministry, as well as our Bible Institute. And I'd like to just share with you this format for lifestyle evangelism. This is something that we should just come out of us as we live. And it's basically we call it the cause circle. You can see the circle there illustrating prayer, care, and share. Easy memory thing to say. You can remember that probably pretty easily. What is it? Prayer, care, and share. I'll have you guys say it with me one time here. Prayer, care, and share. And it's simple in that everybody in this room knows somebody that is lost, somebody that needs to hear the message of salvation, and can we pray for them? Yes, I would think we can. Even for us that are very much introverted and shy and don't really have a lot of connection with people right at this point, we can pray for the lost to come to know him. And we call that intercessory prayer. The prayer that we're talking about here in the first part of this cause circle is we pray on the behalf of others. That's what intercessory prayer means. As a believer, I have a connection to talk directly to God. That veil of separation has been torn apart, and now we have access to God. But a person that is lost does not have that direct communication. So intercessory prayer is me praying on behalf of this neighbor that I have that needs to come to know the Lord. Praying for that person that's at the counter, that's serving us, maybe at a restaurant or a gas station, whatever it might be, people you know you could be praying for. Intercessory prayer is where it starts with this cause circle. The next thing is care. So we have prayer and then care. Care is simply the next step in that relationship. Because as we pray intentionally for people, God does a work in our hearts and brings needs about that we can meet. It's just like when we're talking about just in our prayer life, we say that God moves in ways. Once we pray, then does it change the heart of God? No, it brings our heart in line with God. So in the same way, when we're praying about people, he's going to bring needs into our mind that we can meet for them, and that's care. So we pray for them intentionally, intercessory prayer. He puts on our heart how we can serve and meet a need, and we do that, whether it be bringing a meal, helping them with the ride, doing something kind. That's what we're talking about as far as building a bridge. Because as we then are caring for those individuals that don't know him, the response in their lives should be, why is that person doing that? What's different about you? And if they verbalize that to you, then that is an open door to say, here's why. This is what's happened to me. This is what Christ has done in my life. Let me tell you about it. So we want that to happen, and that can happen in this cause circle. You have the prayer, the care, showing love by serving others to earn the right or opportunity to share the gospel, and then finally, share, which is communicating the truth and giving the opportunity to others to receive Christ. We need to be ready to give a hope, to give an answer for the hope that is in us. If we accept the challenge to live out the cause circle, the goal is to have people ask of us what is different so that we can explain the good news that they need to hear. Word of Life has, or Dare to Share also has a website, and it is the cause circle. You could look up Life in Six Words. Life in Six Words is life in the number six words. And we're going to share a little bit about the next part, but it has within that app the cause circle. So you can actually put in people that you're praying for, and you can have the prayer request there, what you're doing. You can also move them into the categories of here's something I want to do as far as care, and it just gives you a working app that is basically an intentional plan for lifestyle evangelism. I challenge you to look at that. I'll mention it again sometime here throughout the message, but Life in Six Words is the app. You can start here, and then it'll also have this next section that we're going to go into where we share the gospel. But the cause circle is instrumental for us to be able to have these good opportunities. What happens, though, when you do prayer and you do care and they ask you, well, how do I then accept Jesus Christ as my Savior? Or what's different about you? And you have that opportunity. We need to be prepared. And this is what we do as far as training students of how do we take somebody and share with them a clear presentation of the gospel. Now, hopefully you guys know this. You may be able to take somebody through the Romans Road. You may know another method, a way of sharing the gospel. What I'm going to share with you today is what we call the gospel acrostic. And it will be something that you could use to be able to simply spell out the word gospel. I hope we can do that. And that will give us a little outline for where we go with this. So simply, God is, well, I'll spell it out first for you. G-O-S-P-E-L. We've got God, our sins, paying everyone life are the key words that you have there. And we're going to go through each one of these phrases and share the gospel so that you could model this, you could learn this, you could also use this even within the app as far as how to do this. So let's go ahead and get started. We'll start with the G. The statement is, God created us to be with him. Now, this goes back to the opening slide I talked about with Factory Reset. One of the cool things we did when we were at camp is they did a whole presentation on the first night about God's original design. Adam and Eve in the garden, and then the fall that happened and how that man is lost without hope. And so that is gets us in the same mindset of God created us in that perfect environment to be with him in harmony, in the garden where they walk side by side with God. That was the original intent. But very shortly after that, the next thing we go to is, our sins separate us from God. Our sins separate us from God. So now we have, through Genesis 2 and through all the different areas of the Bible that talks about this great separation, we have not a way to get back to him. It says, Romans 3:23, For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Because of Adam's and Eve's choice to sin, the decision has poisoned all of mankind with the curse of sin. The Bible's clear that, for as by one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. We inherited the sin nature because of the fall. So everybody is separated from God. So the original, the G, God created us to be with him, but our sins separate us from him. That is the bad news. And that's where a lot of the different gospel presentations will then maybe pivot and talk about the good news. But there's one of the things here, as you spell out the gospel, we talk about the S as sins cannot be removed by good deeds. And that's an important thing. That's like a little bit of a doubling down on the bad news, but it's an important fact. It says here, Isaiah 64:6, or before I say we read that, sins cannot be removed by good deeds. With separation from God, man's first instinct is what? To fix it. Our first instinct is to fix it. We try to earn then the favor of God, and that's our human default. So we know that we may be separated from God, but we think, oh man, if we could just give enough money to the church, if we can be there, if we could do service to others, if we could work with the needy, the homeless, whatever it might be, we can earn our way. That is not what God has in mind. It says Isaiah 64:6, for all have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. There's nothing we can do. There's nothing we can do to earn our salvation. And that is a critical point within a lot of religions around the world, that they feel like they can just do good enough to outweigh the bad. But that we must acknowledge that we are separated from God with no means to restore the relationship, that we're hopeless. People need to come to an understanding that they are lost before they can be found. And I'm not going to go down the path of talking about guys with driving directions and all that things, but we need to realize that we're lost sometimes before and ask for help before we can find our way. People need to know that they're lost. So the first three letters, the G, God created us to be with him, our sins separate us from God, and then S, sins cannot be removed by our good deeds, brings us to the point where we see people need the Lord. There's no other hope except for a Savior. The next one, P, paying the price for sin, Jesus died and rose again. This, in a short phrase, encapsulizes the gospel. Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection is important that people know. It's not just a historical fact. It is true, and that it is what makes a relationship to be restored possible. See, it says in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated his own love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He was the perfect Lamb of God who came to this world, lived sinlessly, and was able to take on himself all of the sins of mankind to be able to die in our place and to shed his blood for our sins. So that is the good news of the gospel. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus that makes restoration possible. He conquered sin and death, and that is the gospel, the good news of him paying the debt of our sin that we could never pay. So this is where we have then the hope, the good news that we present to somebody through these verses and through any illustrations of your own life, maybe how you came to know the Lord. But does that mean somebody then has accepted Christ? No, it takes this next step. Everyone who trusts in him alone has eternal life. What's the key factor here? Personal faith. They make that decision. They know what's offered to them is hope through Jesus, but they need to make that their own. Knowing Jesus as Savior is not enough. Knowing in your head. It takes trust, faith. It takes believing that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We mentioned John 3:16 already. For God so loved the world, he gave his son, his one and only son, to be that sacrifice for our sin. When was that time for you that you surrendered your all? When was it that you trusted Christ? For me, it was when I was a young child in Illinois. Lake City Bible Church is where it was. My dad pastored a small church there just in the crossroads and cornfields. And I remember him talking on a Sunday night. It was either Sunday night or Wednesday night. I probably said Wednesday night at our meeting. I was trying to remember about that. But I believe it was a Sunday night. He was preaching on the dangers of living a life without Christ and the consequences that that would bring. And so I remember praying with my mom in our house, in the schoolhouse that was just across from the church, that I trusted Christ at that time. And again, Lord used that to just shape my life and to be able to take me to different places, and other things came into my life like Word of Life and school at the Liberty and all of that that shaped where we are now today. But it all started knowing that Jesus Christ paid for my sins and accepting Him as a Savior. Just think about that for your own self in your own life. When was that time? God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, trust in Him and give others the chance to do that as well. John 10:28 says, I give to them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. He has given us eternal life. And our last step there is life starts now and lasts forever. That's the verse I was just reading, John 10:28. Life starts now. I like this fact, because a lot of times we get to the point where we get somebody the opportunity to get saved, they pray to receive Christ, and we're like, okay, you're on your own. You know, we need to disciple people, we need to see them, because their life in Christ starts at that point of asking Jesus into their hearts. And they are justified just as if they've never sinned at that time and point. So life starts now and lasts forever. We do a lot of the thinking about salvation as the last forever. It's when we get to heaven. It's when we get there that's the fire insurance. We can live the way we want to. We know we're going to make mistakes, but it's all about the future. But we want in this point to think about, how does this affect my life now? As a child of God, as one who has been justified and prayed for salvation, we have all we need to live in victorious Christian life. To live in victory, to have that life abundant and free right now. It says we can experience the abundant life that Christ desires for us if we simply trust and obey Him. And it's just simplified a little bit, but that is the joy we have in the life of Christ. So those are the steps of spelling out gospel. So I'll just review real quick. Let's see if we can do this together. The G stands for what? God created us to be with Him. The O is our sins separate us from God. S, sins cannot be removed by our good deeds. Let's say that again. S, sins cannot be removed by our good deeds. And then we go to P, paying the price for sin, Jesus died and rose again. Then we go to E, everyone who trusts in Him alone has eternal life. And finally, L, life starts now and lasts forever. Pretty simple. Remember, God, our sins, paying everyone life. It's a great way of learning, memorizing, speaking the gospel to yourself in hopes that you can share the gospel with others as you do this cause circle of prayer, care, and then sharing that truth with them. My challenge to you today as we close is that you would join us as we do a little bit of a evangelism emphasis this last month. Now, I want you guys doing this personally, lifestyle evangelism. But Word of Life has endeavored to do Eternity 5 Million is a challenge in the month of April. We're doing this around the world. And it is where we are actually trying to have all of our partnering missionaries around the 86 countries that we have a presence in, for all of them within their youth, camping, and Bible Institute ministries to be able to get out and share the gospel with 5 million. And that's telling the story. It could be through social media, that we're to put it out on a minute testimony video where they put it out on an app. We're doing that through a lot of our youth ministries. It could be street evangelism. It could be events. But we are going to track in the month of April all of the different ministry arms of Word of Life and see if we can't share the truth 5 million times to 5 million people and see what God does. That's 5 million to hear the gospel, maybe not decisions, but we don't know. God could go above and beyond what we could even think or imagine. So we want you to be involved in this. I put down a couple steps. If you look on there, this is a link for our churches. The one that we have as far as a national platform, if you're writing these things down, is itrustinchrist.com. itrustinchrist.com is our global website for this Eternity 5 Million. And what you'd find at both of these sites is free downloads. There is a youth Sunday school or youth group lesson that talks about how they can participate, how they can share the gospel, how they can do that one-minute video. We'd ask everybody the challenge to record how they come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Post that on your social media. It's a big step. It's a big step for students to take that commitment. And then also take the time to record and report your gospel reach. And so that's what we're asking all of our churches around the world, all of our partnering ministries to do this. And we really would invite you guys to be a part of this in the month of April. Some of our countries in the world have started already reporting as we started in this last couple weeks of March, getting into April. So we are praying that you would do that. But here as we close, let me just ask, there may be some of you here who don't really understand or realize, you're realizing maybe for the first time, I don't have a story that I could share. I don't remember that time where I accepted Christ as my Savior. You can trust in Christ today. You heard the message of salvation through the acrostics that we shared, but you need to accept the personal gift of salvation for yourself. If you have any questions, I know myself and the staff that's here would love to talk with you before you guys leave today if you have any questions about what that relationship looks like. Others, you may trust in Christ, and I pray you do. But maybe your light has been hidden under what it says is a bushel or basket. The basket of pleasing people, the basket of materialism, the basket of selfishness or comfort. Whatever the reason that we've been neglecting or you've been neglecting to share your story, please deal with that today. Do business with God, do business with the Lord, and start being intentional in your sharing of the good news of the gospel. Be an ambassador with the people you know and love so that they can have hope just by living out that cause circle. And I hope that is something will stick with you as well. We can all pray, care for others, and then share the truth of the gospel with them. So as we close, I'm just going to ask you if you would bow your heads and close your eyes. I would like to challenge you and pray for you if you'd be willing to maybe take that step of saying, yes, I will share my story with somebody this month, the month of April, between now and the end of April. I want to share my story with somebody. And I would just like to be able to pray for you. If not embarrass you, I hope as far as just with your eyes, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you wouldn't mind just indicating, I'll take that challenge. I would like to be able to pray for somebody. If you just raise your hand where you sit that I could see you, I want to pray for you guys as we close today that you'd be bold enough to be able to take this method or some other method and share the truth with somebody you know. I see those hands. That's great. I'll pray for you. I don't know your names, but I'll pray for us as a group as we do that. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for each one that's here, for the time that we've been able to spend as far as intentionally looking at a method and a way of sharing the most important truth there is with others. I thank you for those that raised their hands, that they're thinking about people right here in this community that they know that need to hear this truth. And I pray for each one that raised their hands that you would give them a boldness, that you would give them the resourcing, the encouragement to be able to simply step out by faith and pray for those people, to care for them, and to ultimately share the good news that can change their eternal destiny. Lord, we're so grateful that we have the truth. And I pray that you would again help them to be able to go and be light in this dark world. Thankful for this mission emphasis, but I pray that we could continue this week after week, that our hearts would be stirred, not just to sit on the sidelines, but to get in the fields that are white in the harvest. Lord, we thank you so much for what you're going to do through those that take up this challenge. We pray for everybody that they find this, that they find this challenge and they can live out the gospel. Lord, we love you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.